Bernie Sanders wanders into anti-Semitic rhetoric, and Jonathan Greenblatt and the Anti-Defamation League have nothing to say. Because the ADL, like much of the Jewish left, is getting anti-Semitism dangerously wrong. Today on the Moral Heritage Podcast. So it's true, Bernie Sanders wandered into classically anti-Semitic rhetoric, and Jonathan Greenblatt, who is the CEO and national director of the Anti-Defamation League since 2015, said nothing. And the Anti-Defamation League overall said nothing. To better understand where this is coming from and why it is so problematic, let's look at who Jonathan Greenblatt did go after recently. None other than Ted Cruz. On February 18, Yashar Ali, who is a contributor to New York Magazine and Huffington Post, he tweeted out the following. Bloomberg campaign says it's a two-man race for the nomination. Per Bloomberg, the news organization owned and controlled by Bloomberg. It's a very interesting comment because, in fact, he included a screenshot to show you the Bloomberg.com headline, which says, Bloomberg campaign says it's a two-man race for the nomination. Interestingly enough, only Bloomberg plus The Hill and Politico, at least as far as I could find, covered this statement from the Bloomberg campaign, in which they were trying to rule Biden out of the race and say it's now entirely up to Bloomberg and Sanders to fight it out, which, of course, is a very pro-Bloomberg message. So Ted Cruz made a sarcastic comment. It's almost as if he owns the media. Now think about it. That comment is both funny and completely true. Bloomberg does own the media in question. Besides Bloomberg, only Politico and The Hill are covering the story, so it's the fact that he owns the media outlet which helped make this a story. So Ted Cruz is saying about Bloomberg, it's almost as if he owns the media, ha ha ha. Well, brilliant. So Jonathan Greenblatt of the ADL tweets as follows. Is it anti-Semitic to point out that Mike Bloomberg owns a news service? No. Is it anti-Semitic to accuse a Jewish person of controlling the media? Absolutely yes. This assertion goes far beyond the facts and perpetuates harmful anti-Semitic tropes. As the author of a resolution condemning slanderous myths about Jews, money, and power, Ted Cruz should know better. Now, let's go back and do it and break this down. Ted Cruz, yes, is in fact the author of a draft resolution in the Senate condemning anti-Semitism in all its forms. But he's also been a steadfast friend of the Jews and Israel throughout. And Ted Cruz is an outstanding friend. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with this comment. The comment that Bloomberg, it's almost as if Bloomberg owns the media, was not saying that Bloomberg controls all media. He controls the news outlet in question, which is absolutely true. It is dangerously wrong to use the accusation of anti-Semitism as some sort of identity protection for a rich Jew. Valid criticism of how Jews spend their money, individual Jews spend their money, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, an attack on a particular Jewish individual is rarely anti-Semitic, unless he can be viewed as representing the Jewish collective. For example, Bibi Netanyahu. Very often, what you hear from certain individuals with regards to criticism of Netanyahu and his quote-unquote policies is really defamation of Israel and all Jews by extension. But that's not true when you have an individual Jew targeted. Now, Jonathan Greenblatt should know that, but this is operating by a double standard. Let's go back to the fall of 2018. Kevin McCarthy, who was then the House Majority Leader and is now House Minority Leader, tweeted that we cannot allow Soros, Steyer, and Bloomberg to buy this election. Greenblatt called that the rhetoric of white supremacists and Steyer called it straight-up anti-Semitic. To accuse Soros, Steyer, and Bloomberg of, quote-unquote, buying the election. The only problem with this accusation is it was entirely true. Soros, Steyer, and Bloomberg were investing huge amounts of money to flip the House, and as we see, they were relatively successful. So it was completely reasonable to criticize them in this fashion, and it was crazy to accuse McCarthy, who's been a huge friend of the Jews and Israel, of saying something anti-Semitic because he went after them simply saying the truth. And how do we know that it was merely a partisan tactic? Because more recently, in December 2019, Elizabeth Warren said the same thing about Mike Bloomberg. She said the American people are sick and tired of billionaires buying elections. And that's why she did not want to see the Democratic nomination go to Bloomberg, but rather to, of course, her. You know what Jonathan Greenblatt had to say about that? Nothing. Zero. You see, when it's a Democrat saying precisely the same thing in precisely the same language, buying the election, it's okay. It's not a problem because she's also a liberal Democrat, just like Jonathan Greenblatt. And so Greenblatt has nothing to say. He is not interested unless it can be associated with the right wing, which is why he went after McCarthy and now why he went after Cruz, where he did not go after Elizabeth Warren and he did not go after Bernie Sanders. Now, what's the Bernie Sanders tweet in question? This is much more recent. AIPAC, the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, is holding their annual conference. And as happened last year, none of the Democratic candidates are going. And Bernie went further than merely not go. Although he claimed back on February 5th that he had no objection to going, he said the following more recently. The Israeli people have the right to live in peace and security. So do the Palestinian people. I remain concerned about the platform AIPAC provides for leaders who express bigotry and oppose basic Palestinian rights. For that reason, I will not attend their conference. Now, this is crazy. This is madness. As AIPAC pointed out, Sanders, who has never gone to an AIPAC conference, is simply lying about what the speakers say and what they believe. There is no expression of bigotry at an AIPAC conference, and there is no opposition to basic human rights for any person at an AIPAC conference. But the classic belief of the anti-Semite, the classic belief, the number one article, is this idea of Jewish supremacy, that the Jews are a cabal who only care about their own and violate the rights of everybody else, take advantage of everybody else, steal from everybody else. It all starts with that idea that the Jews just don't care. I challenge anyone to go back to the transcripts of anything ever said at an AIPAC conference. You will not find expressions of bigotry. You will not find opposition of basic human rights for anybody, including the so-called Palestinian Arab. And I do say so-called advisedly, because even Mahmoud Abbas admits that Palestinian Arabs are not different from Jordanian Arabs and other Arabs in the region, and we'll get back to that in a different podcast. But this idea that the Jews are unfair to everybody else, it never required a factual basis. So when I say that Bernie Sanders slipped into anti-Semitic rhetoric, I'm calling upon the entire history of anti-Semitism to make that point. Because it's throughout history, it's been true throughout history that the anti-Semite believes that the Jews are a cabal who only care about their own and they don't care about anybody else. I mean, let's look at the situation that as it's currently playing out in the Middle East. Thanks to the Oslo Accords, a Palestinian authority was created. Mahmoud Abbas is now in the 15th year of his four-year term. The whole point of those Oslo Accords was to give, quote-unquote, Palestinian Arabs self-determination. Mahmoud Abbas took that away. And Sanders has never criticized that. He has nothing to say about the anti-democratic actions of Mahmoud Abbas, much less the Hamas terror organization now in control in Gaza. He only has something to say about, well, the only country in the world with both Arab and Jewish Supreme Court justices, government ministers, news anchors, and reality TV winners. Wow, what a racist society that is. This is unbelievable. This is his target. This is the leaders who express bigotry and oppose basic Palestinian rights. Those are the leaders presiding over the country, which, again, is unique in the world for giving Arabs and Jews such equal opportunity. But this idea of Jewish supremacy, again, it overwhelms all facts, and it is indeed the source of Sanders' belief. And before you get started with, oh, but wait a minute, Sanders is a Jew, and he's a Jew, there is no clearer proof of ignorance of all Jewish history than the claim that Jews can't be anti-Semites. Let me go back and say that again. There is no clearer proof that somebody is ignorant of all Jewish history than when they claim that Jews can't be anti-Semites. Because if there's any one lesson you learn from Jewish history, it's the tremendous damage done to the Jewish people in communities in disparate locations throughout our history by Jews who abandoned Judaism and, in fact, hated Judaism and the Jewish people. Now, as a matter of fact, there's a Greenblatt who did say that Sanders' remark was outrageous and wrong. In fact, the tweet begins, outrageous, outrageous, shocking statement, wrong on so many levels, shows a total disregard for Israel and complete lack of understanding of the conflict and the very serious security challenges Israel faces. Bernie Sanders and staff should attend AIPAC conference, not to speak, but to listen/learn, he wrote. You know who that was? Jason Dove Greenblatt, the recently resigned assistant to the president who helped the architecture of the recent vision for the peace plan. Jonathan Greenblatt, on the other hand, nothing. Exactly the same as in December of 2019 when Elizabeth Warren referred to Bloomberg buying the election, he had nothing to say about a clearly anti-Semitic reference to leaders in Israel. And when you think about it, it's really not surprising. Jonathan Greenblatt, who is now the head, again, of the Anti-Defamation League, the ADL, has an extensive resume of business and nonprofit work. He has done things to change the world for the better. Quote, helping children around the world access clean water. And all of this is wonderful work. But you know what it has nothing to do with? Anti-Semitism. There is nothing in his resume that indicates a background, research, understanding, nothing about the uniqueness of anti-Semitism, and this is the guy they put in charge of the Anti-Defamation League. And immediately prior to this job, his last stint was a special assistant to the president, referring to President Obama. He is a left-wing partisan who has used his business and nonprofit expertise to help expand the profile of the ADL, but he just doesn't know or understand anti-Semitism. And that puts us, the Jews, in a tremendously dangerous place because the ADL has historically been trusted as the organization that is the arbiter of when something is anti-Semitic and against the Jews. And he has no neutral standard to go by. He only has a partisan standard, which is why he criticizes Ted Cruz and criticizes Kevin McCarthy while ignoring Elizabeth Warren and worst of all, ignoring Bernie Sanders. For the record, what Warren said when she talked about the American people being sick and tired of billionaires buying elections, that wasn't anti-Semitic at all. She was talking about two people, obviously, Mike Bloomberg and Donald Trump. Now, okay, nonpartisan, A, not all Jewish, B. But, you know, it's true. The Americans, by the way, I'm not sure that it is true, but it is certainly a valid claim that the American people are sick and tired of billionaires buying elections. I can't tell you that's true. Bloomberg really has a shot because a lot of people are quite happy if the guy's a billionaire, as long as he knows what to do and how to run the country. But again, there was nothing anti-Semitic about this accusation against Bloomberg. It was just saying, you know, the man is using his billions of dollars to buy a lot of TV ad time that the rest of us can't afford. Now, Kevin McCarthy, no different. Zero difference. You know how we know? Because, in fact, Tom Steyer is no more Jewish than Donald Trump. He's Episcopalian like his mother. He, Tom Steyer, has a Jewish father. Donald Trump has a Jewish daughter. If you want to claim that one is Jewish, the other is Jewish, there's absolutely no relationship over here. Tom Steyer's father was not only Jewish, but a Nuremberg prosecutor. But that is something that is only brought up to accuse anyone who criticizes Steyer of being an anti-Semite. And that, of course, is why this whole concept is so dangerous. Because it's not using a neutral standard. It's going to find some excuse to shield Steyer from criticism. Oh, anybody who criticizes him is an anti-Semite. I mean, that's like identity politics. It's using his Jewish identity to shield him from criticism, which isn't really his own Jewish identity. It's actually his father's. Look, this is exactly like Ilhan Omar being criticized for her hateful statements about Jews, her anti-Semitic statements, openly anti-Semitic statements about Jews. And she responds, oh, it's because I'm a black Muslim refugee woman. Look, let's know. Is David Duke a black Muslim refugee woman? David Duke says exactly the same things, and he gets exactly the same criticism. That's how you know that the criticism being sent at Ilhan Omar has nothing to do with partisanship, nothing to do with her being a Democrat, and, of course, nothing to do with her being a Muslim refugee woman of color. It's totally irrelevant. Again, David Duke, who's on the right, who's white, who's Christian, gets exactly the same criticism for exactly the same remarks. And by the way, no coincidence over here, David Duke leaped to defend Ilhan Omar because they're both responsible for precisely the same hate. If you know what you're looking for, anti-Semitism is not difficult to find. But anti-Semitism is on the rise precisely because so many people don't recognize what they are looking at. Bernie Sanders is not the only person using Israel as a political fig leaf for ancient canards about Jewish supremacy. And not coincidentally, random attacks on Jews, not only in Jerusalem, but in New York City, in Brooklyn, are dramatically on the rise. Now, you would ask to that, what do the victims have to say? What is their opinion? What are the victims of these anti-Semitic attacks? The overwhelming majority of the random attacks being committed in Brooklyn are against visibly Orthodox Jews. Well, Ami Magazine, which is a magazine serving the visibly Orthodox Jewish community, conducted a survey not long ago where they asked numerous questions about the president, potential challengers, the political environment, etc. But they asked a question on anti-Semitism. Specifically, who do you trust more to fight anti-Semitism? President Trump and the Republicans or House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats? The result of that survey question went 60 to 1. No, I am not exaggerating. 60 to 1. Over 90%, 92.5, preferred President Trump and the Republicans. 1.5%. No, I'm not missing a digit here. 1.5% preferred Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats. 6%. Which is to say, four times the number of people who said they preferred Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats said they didn't prefer either one, like either is equally bad or equally good. You get it? What does a supposedly uneducated, you know, these housewives in Borough Park, oh, they're barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen, they don't know anything. How is it that they all know that they would rather talk to President Trump and the Republicans about anti-Semitism and trust them to do something? What is it that they know that Jonathan Greenblatt does not know? Well, that's not going to be the topic of one more podcast. This is going to be a recurring theme. We're going to talk about anti-Semitism. We're going to talk about anti-Semitism about Israel. And I have this feeling that as we go towards the election, Sanders' hateful statements about Jews, specifically in Israel, is going to be a recurring theme of this podcast. So I would ask four things of you. Number one, of course, is to please subscribe to the podcast to make sure you're getting the next one. And also to please give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts so other people learn about it. I would even ask you to forward the URL of this particular podcast on my site, yaakovmenken.com, onto a friend so they can hear it also. Let's help increase the subscription base. And fourth, and finally, to support the Coalition for Jewish Values, which keeps the lights on and pays the bills. Coalition for Jewish Values, found at cjvalues.org, promotes traditional Jewish values in public policy. Again, it pays for the bills, which helps to support, obviously, this podcast and everything else I do during the day. So if you could go head over there, give us some support, give us a cheer, and also the 5-star review on Apple Podcast, I'd really appreciate it. And I'll be back soon with another podcast.